Let's sit. Let's learn. Let's evolve. Let's talk.
No more whispering in our mind.
Today is Let's Talk Black Excellence with your host, Dan Rennie.
Before I begin, I'd like to stop to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we broadcast from today. Also pay respects to elders past and present. It's wonderful to have your company. As it is every Friday here on Let's Talk Black Excellence, I'm Dan Rennie. It's wonderful to have your company today. And as I said, we've got a very special guest joining us on the phone today. He's a decorated professional rugby league player, Ryan James. Ryan, welcome to the show, brother.
Cheers, thanks for having us.
My pleasure. As we always do, can we start with your mob and your country? Where are you from, cuz?
Yeah, so I'm obviously Ryan James. I'm from Blamble and Tweed, but my mum's from Fingal, so that's the Bundjalung mob. And proud Indigenous man from Blamble.
Now, I guess we should probably start at the beginning. How did you get involved in rugby league? Where did that love and that passion come from?
Oh, it's just a generational thing. So my dad played rugby league here on the Tweed forever, and my older brothers did it, and I've been playing ever since I was 5 years old and hung up the boots at the end of last year, but somehow managed to be able to get a dust off and get one more game in for the All-Stars.
What does it mean for you to represent the Indigenous All-Stars? I mean, you know, the brainchild of Preston Campbell, who of course was also founding player for the Titans, where you spent much of your career. But to be a part of that, to be around some players that you probably never would get to play alongside, can you talk us through what that's like to be in the camp and playing the game itself?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I've been playing the All-Stars game I think 2010 or 11, and it's just one of those weeks where you just get to learn about your culture, learn about your mates, learn about where they're from, and then you get to play some football with some of the best players that will ever play the game. So I would have probably never got the chance to play with your Jonathan Thurstons, your Greg Millises, your Justin Hodges, Sam Thaiday. The list goes on. But, you know, through the All-Stars concept and Preston Campbell having a small idea that turned into a big thing for our community, I've been able to pull on the All-Stars jersey and represent my people for over 10 years now. So I'm extremely grateful for Presto coming up with the concept and to be able to play football with Presto, but to see the concept grow from when it started and where it's got to now, it's just something that people probably don't fathom how much it actually means to Indigenous community to see their team go out there. And the community work that we do during the week and everything involved, the cultural immersion stuff that we do when we go on the camp and just being around your mob, it's something that's so special, and I'm glad it's going to be my last game of professional rugby league, because I couldn't think of a better way going out than playing for your people.
Can you talk to us about the week, Ryan? Because it's not just about the game. We know you get amongst it in the community. Talk to our listeners about what that week entails and what you walk away from after that.
Yeah, the week's great. Ever since the start, it's been a lot of community visits going out and seeing mob that need it, and this year the game's in New Zealand, so unfortunately can't do as much stuff here in Australia as we want to, but the boys all decided to come into camp a day earlier on the Saturday and hit some communities that have been affected of late. So everyone here in southeast Queensland will be heading on a bus down to Ballina to see the mob down there that got hit by the floods, and all the Sydney teams will get together at the Pullman and then head out to various communities down there. But something that we thought was important as a playing group to get out and see the community, because we need to make sure we fill our buckets, going out and seeing our mob before we go over to a foreign country where we haven't played the game before, and just make sure that we're strong within ourselves and in our culture before we go and probably face one of the scariest huckers we'll probably ever see.
What's that like, facing up to the Māori mob?
Yeah, it's 100% intimidating, but when you stand there with your brothers, it definitely helps. And it's something that, New Zealand, obviously having a treaty that they teach this at school, and the kids grow up with it, especially the Māori boys that are really extremely passionate about it. But New Zealand as a whole have always done the haka and have taught Māori culture throughout history, and it's something where Australia needs to pick up. And the dance that we do is something that's been incorporated over the last, I think, 10 odd years. So it's kind of new to us to do that. It's one of those things where you're there with your brothers, and when you're facing it, you're facing it.
Let's go back to your early days. Were you naturally gifted, Braz, or were you one of those fellas that had to, you know, really put in the extras, or were you sort of identified early on as a talent?
No, probably not too early. I'm probably the world's slowest Aboriginal, like a front rower. There's not too many of us. Everyone, you know, all of them are usually outside back, all the brothers, and they're all quick outside back centres, full backs and halves, and there's only ever really been a handful of front rowers out there, like me, Georgie, Big Drew Fifita, yeah. And now you got a handful of others that they're just yet. Yeah, they're all playing this year, but they all seem to be mobile, but I lost that gene, so blame mum for that. But yeah, I just had to made up through hard work and just dedication, and it's one of those things where someone like my brother, who was a way more talented player, and just probably if he stuck at it, he would have been, would have had a 10-year plus NRL career, but it's just one of those things where I was just a little bit more dedicated.
You're known throughout your career as a big hitter. I guess that was your special talent, putting on the big shots. Yeah, was that something that you prided yourself on, your defence?
Yeah, I think every team who plays, or every player, you need to be a half-decent defender. And when you get a bit older, the hits start to hurt you a little bit more, and it probably starts to hurt them. So towards the back end, I probably was trying just to win tackles more. But, definitely at the start, it was something that you wanted to do. Come off the bench early on in my career, you want to try and make an impact, and being a young kid trying to prove yourself, but you start to work smarter, not harder, towards the end.
So you're playing through your teenage years, you play for school and club. When were you sort of identified as a, you know, potential first grader?
Yeah, so I originally went to Tweed River High School, did year 7 to 10 then, and the first time I got picked up, I think I was 15, so not too much before that. I didn't really played in a handful of rep sides, but tried out through the New South Wales schoolboys team when I was 15. Got to the end, I didn't think I made the team because I was playing back row at the time, and they named the back rowers, and I was sitting there kind of filthy. And then they named me at lock for that team, and then I got named player of the carnival. So it just sort of worked out from there that I kind of always had that moment of, oh, maybe I can do this. And then, yeah, Dad sat us down not too long after that and said, can genuinely make a career out of this, so it's kind of up to me if I want to go and pursue it. And then ever since then, yeah, the rep side sort of just kept coming from there, and made my debut at 18 straight out of school, and played ever since 2010 till 2022, and then even one game in 2023.
Can you tell us about that, that moment that you realised you'd be playing first grade for the Titans? Can you, give us a bit of a sense of what that's like, to get that phone call. It's a dream of every young rugby league player to hit the top, and you made it.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, it was. And it was actually John Cartwright at the time who drove to my house when we were maybe 16 to sign us. He kind of believed in me from the start, and he was my first coach, and actually finished, and he was my assistant coach at the Broncos. So I was very grateful to have him for a lot of my football career. But yeah, he actually just called me in the training because I was playing 20s at the time as a school kid. And he just said, come to training just to get a bit of first grade training under your belt. And then it came captain's run, and then he just named me in the team when he named the team. So I didn't actually know I was playing first grade until the day before. And then, never played front row in my life before then either. And then, that's when I started playing front row.
Do you remember that game? Do you remember the first hit up you took, or the first tackle you made?
Yeah, I do. I remember. Then even in the first scrum, I think it was Jason King at the time, tried to fight me in the first scrum, and I was just like, one of my good mates now is Greg Bird, coming in, he was ready to throw some hands on me. So ever since then, me and him have been pretty good mates, and now we're even business partners. So ever since then, Birdie's been one of my great mates.
We will touch on life after football shortly, but if you're just joining us, Ryan James is our guest on Let's Talk Black Excellence today. Ryan, the Titans Club itself, you know, the foundations of that club, I suppose, built around, you know, black fellas like Preston Campbell and Scotty Prince. So to be a part of that, I suppose, legacy of deadly black fellas that have represented the Titans must have been a real pride moment for you as well.
Yeah, it was. And, people probably don't give Michael Searle enough acknowledgement for what he did in the Gold Coast. But, he deliberately pick people like Princey and Presto because you know how well-respected they were in the community and how good they were at football. And probably without those two, I dare say the Gold Coast, you know, club wouldn't be seen in the community as good as it is today. They laid the platform and did everything to get a brand new club up to where it should be. And, you know, Dolphins are in that same boat at the moment. But to be able to be around Princey and Presto and just to see how well respected they are in the community and everything that they've done for rugby league, it was easy for me to, you know, pick their brains and try to figure out how to be my version of them.
Mm. And I guess, you know, a very very successful career with the Titans. They even saw you play City Country and right on the cusp of playing for your state as well.
Yeah. So I was unfortunate. I got a ban, you know, various New South Wales, Cairns, but never got to don the blue jersey. But yeah, played for New South Wales Country and, yeah, most importantly, got to play for the Indigenous All-Stars, which is something you know, I'll always respect and you know, be grateful for. So I still believe some of those All-Stars teams I played in would have beat some of those New South Wales and Queensland sides. So I hold them higher.
Yeah, absolutely, Russ. Can you talk about the, you know, the responsibility, I suppose, of captaining your club? Not only do you have to go out there and play, but you lead by example and, you know, you've got to, I suppose, bring the boys along with you.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, being at the club for such a long time and a couple of the leaders stepping away, it was kind of just a natural fit. Being a local junior to being able to captain the team from, I think I was 25 at the time, so I was kind of youngish, but yeah, it's a hard thing when they give you the C next game. You've got to tell all the fellas, you know, what you think and what you expect of them. But everyone just made, at that time, just made it easy. And when Neil Henry gave us the captaincy, it was something, you know, I always cherished. And I got to captain the club for, I think, 3 or 4 years. And yeah, loved every moment of it. It does come with a lot of responsibility, but that comes with time and growth in the game. And luckily, I had that beneath me after about 7 years of first grade.
Mm. We touched on it before you finished up your career where we are here in Brisbane, at the Brisbane Broncos, you know, a very famous club. What was that like playing for the Brisbane Broncos?
Yeah, it was great. I actually am so grateful I got to finish my career at a club like the Broncos. They're such a great club, business, and they're so well connected in the community. And just to see, you know, how much they keep their old boys involved and just the passion everyone actually has in Brisbane for the Broncos is something that obviously Gold Coast strive to be, but you know, I've been there for a little bit longer and I'm just super grateful I got to play alongside some of those guys up there, and I'll cherish falling on that jersey, Broncos jersey, forever.
Yeah, look, it was looking very promising about halfway through the season last year for the Broncos. Where do you think, can you put your finger on where it sort of started unravelling, you know, missing the eight after such a successful beginning to the year?
Oh, there's plenty of things that go into a football season and things that can go wrong, and it can just be a moment in the game where there's plenty of games that we should have won. Just little lapses and concentration just can lead to a result going the wrong way, which in hindsight, because you loses your 2 points, and we only missed, I think, the eight by probably 2 or 4 points. So it was probably another combination of, you know, the halves combination of building and Ezra Mam, who came onto the scene at the back end of that season. I dare say he'll probably start with Renault and the halves this year, and they're probably still in the middle of figuring out their spine. But to be able to him to get out there, get some game time, get some wins under his belt as a young half is super important at that stage of your career. And having someone like Renault there to help guide the ship makes it easier for him so he can just play his natural footy.
Yeah, and look, another really historical club that's, you know, some black fellas have played for over the years at the Broncos. You know, I think of Steve Renoff and, you know, Smoking Joe Kilroy and, you know, Sam Thaiday, Justin Hodges. You know, you're following in that, you know, that path as well. But the young ones coming through, as you mentioned, Ezra Mam and young Selwyn Cobbo, you know, just amazing talents, those young fellas.
Yeah, and the Broncos do a great job developing those players. They all come from the junior system, and they identify them pretty early. And, you know, to be able to pull on jersey with, you know, Selwyn Cobbo, he's my cousin, so he's not really my cousin, but I claim him.
Everyone does. Everybody does.
Yeah, just to see him just, like, evolve this year and, you know, go out there and play Origin. And I really like, because I end up being his carpool for half the year, so you just got to kind of tell them how good they are, but don't get too ahead of yourself because he's just a natural talent. He just runs hard and just plays footy. He's a kid from Cherbourg who probably hasn't had the limelight, but now he's been chucked into it, and the Broncos handled it pretty well, giving him a bit of time off. And Selwyn's just Selwyn. He's just a young kid from Cherbourg trying to learn his way in a big city, and the Broncos handled everything pretty well when it came to that. So they do a lot of great things off the field to help their players, and it was great to see a club actually perform like that.
All right, back to the All-Stars. Who's the, you know, who was the player that you played alongside that you never thought you would, and probably, you know, who do you think was the most talented player you played alongside in the All-Stars?
Oh, there's been plenty of them. I never thought I'd probably either play with JT or GI because, they're Queenslanders and obviously different clubs. But even Benny Barber, like him playing alongside him and seeing the things he could do and the vision he had. Matty Bowen, used to love watching him grow up. Justin Hodges, I would have totally got on it too. Anyone outside of the Titans, I probably would have never got to play with. So, just to pull on a jersey with all those fellas, there's 100% plenty more. But off the top of my head, like your JTs and your GIs, like when you're around those guys, they have their own aura, and they'll probably go down as immortals. So I wouldn't be surprised. If they probably go down as two of the best to play the game.
Absolutely. Who's the toughest opponent you ever come up against, or the biggest, sledger?
there's a lot of them. Like Hargreaves is obviously one of those players that just loves the nitty gritty and just loves trying to get in people's heads. But like Gal was the same. He'd always try and get in your head. And I was just lucky I had a teammate like Birdie who would kind of have your back, but you got to sort of let that go when you're playing footy. But even just like tackling Jason Tomalolo, that's not a fun task. And being in the middle and trying to tackle him every week is, not every week, but every time he's there, it's not fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. He's a big boy. Yeah. As I said, the amazing, I suppose, evolution of the All-Stars and the fact that the rugby league community has got behind it so much that it's something that everyone really looks forward to every single pre-season on the calendar. It's just deadly to see.
Yeah, it's great. And to see it evolve from where it started and the idea and the concept, I think, for that game back in 2008. Now it is kind of one of the bigger events on the calendar, and the boys love playing it and everyone loves being part of it. And we just love what it does for our community. So I'm grateful that I get to play one more game, and hopefully go out there and get the dub.
Here's your last game. As you said, you've hung up the boots. You're still a young man. Was that decision a difficult one to make, Ryan?
No, not really. I've spent a lot of time playing first grade since I was 18 to 31. So I had a handful of injuries in that time and got a young family now. So my weekends will most likely involve taking them to sport and just being around them and being present. Being a good father's, up there in the priorities now. And they spend a lot of time following me around, and I just need to get back to them now because I always put myself first when it came to footy, and now it's time to make my family number one.
Will you remain in rugby league involved in any way, shape or form?
Yeah, I always say I'll have some sort of association with rugby league. I am just doing my studies now up on uni, so I'm sort of delving into that, and I start work at KPMG just after the All-Stars, so working in the Indigenous division there, trying to help Indigenous businesses. So, NRL reached out to us, and the job was in Sydney, so it wasn't great for me at this stage, but I always see myself in it. It's given me so much, and I feel as though I have to be able to give something back to rugby league because it gave me so much in my family.
And you have been dabbling in the business world over the last few years. Can you talk about that journey with us, Buzz?
So I sort of started looking at that when I knew I was sort of coming towards the end of my career. I wish I started a little bit earlier, and just started a group which has now changed to the JBK group, and underneath that we have a couple of different businesses. So Bertie is one of my business partners, and he's sort of running one of our projects called Project Net Zero at the moment, where he does a lot of defits, and we through that we're able to give a lot of furniture out to Indigenous communities, which is a great part of what we do, and everything that we're doing ties back into my foundation, which is all aimed at Indigenous circular communities. But we also own Biscuit Whole Foods, which is a Whole Foods company that does Whole Foods that have Indigenous ingredients in them. We try to keep as much and trying to spread as much about Indigenous flavours Australia-wide and hopefully take that worldwide if we can get into your Qantas and stuff like that.
Well, good on you, brother. You're certainly kicking goals long after your footy career, and we wish you all the best in your future endeavours and studies as well.
Cheers, thanks for that.
Ryan James joining us ahead of the NRL Indigenous All-Stars taking on the Maori All-Stars, and it'll be Ryan's very last game. You've been listening to Let's Talk here on Triple A Murray Country.
No more whispering in our mind.
Let's Talk, Monday to Friday at 9 a.m. on Triple A Murray Country, the National Indigenous Radio Service and iHeartRadio. You can catch up on triplea.org.au. Proudly supported by the Community Broadcast Foundation.